However, Doctor was so straightforward that I enjoyed working with him. And one day he looked rather down. We often had little chats. And this morning he came in, he looked rather down. I said, Doctor, what's the trouble this morning? Well, then he told me. He said, well, sister, he said, I might as well tell you that I came in contact with a New York broker, and he said, I've had a drinking problem for a long time, and somehow we got together, and we've tried to work out something that will help these drunks, he said. Well, he said, we've been trying it out. They tried a few rest homes, and he had some in the other hospitals. And he said, sister, would you consider taking one? Well, I hesitated because sometime before, probably some months before, I took a man in who, he looked, I didn't know much about this drinking. I knew some could drink. Seems some could drink and handle it well, and others couldn't. So they called me to the emergency, and I went down and talked with him. Oh, he said, sister, if I could just lie down a little while. He worked at the city garage and looked like a very respectable person. He said, I've been drinking a little too much, and I want to get straightened out, which I thought was a good thing. Well, the only bed that we had at the time was a bed in a four-bedroom. Then we knew nothing about special treatment. And I assigned him to the man on service, on medical service, and registered him, put him to bed, and I said, you won't cause any trouble. Oh, no, he'd be an angel. Well, I forgot about him. When I came over early the next morning, the night supervisor, who was a tall sister, we always teased her about her big feet. Well, she was standing at the door waiting for me. She said, the next time you take a DT in this place, please stay up all night and run around after him as we have. That wasn't the end of it either. I decided then that's enough. I often felt sorry to see them turned away, but I was not the last word in the hospital. So when Doctor proposed my taking a real, as I thought, a real well, you can imagine my misgivings. I thought, oh, dear me. I told him about this experience, and I said, Doctor, not only will I be put out, but I said, the patient and everything else. I said, I don't think they want alcoholics. He said, sister, this patient won't give you a bit of trouble because I will medicate him, I'll assure you. Well, I had much confidence in him because he never said anything that wasn't so. I'll always say that. Well, very fearfully, I said, well, doctor, I shall take him then. And put him in a two-bedroom. I thought I was doing pretty well because we were so crowded in those days, and beds were at rather a premium. So I took him to this two-bedroom. Doctor went up and medicated him and everything. And I thought, well, I figured I wouldn't hear much till the next morning anyway, if there was any trouble. So, well, there wasn't a word about it. Doctor then came to the admitting office. Thank you. He said, sister, would you mind putting my patient in a private room? I thought I had done pretty good to put him in a two-bed. He said, you know, He said there'd be some men come to visit him, and they'd like to talk to him privately. Well, I said I'll do what I can, Doctor. After he left, I went up and looked the situation over. And right across the hall, we had a flower room where we used to prepare the patient's flowers. And I thought, well, they can fix their flowers somewhere else for today, and I believe I could push the bed in there. That's what we did. And his visitors came. We kept a close eye on them. Am I the respectable looking men? They don't look as though they ever took a drink. And went along. I thought, now the next time I won't have this trouble, I'll put him in a private room. So the next one that came along, I put in a private room. And he seemed, I didn't know much about these alcoholics. I was not an expert. Surely the Lord picked out a weakling when he picked out me, I know. However, I took him down to the room, as I would any patient, and then was taking the chart to the desk to explain to the nurse a little about it. I couldn't tell her too much, but said Dr. Bob would give her the orders. And wasn't he down after me? Well, he had his shorts on and everything else. I nearly went through the floor because the nurses all looked and everyone. And I said, you go right back to your room, we'll be right down. So the nurse came down with me. And here he was under the bed. Well, I thought this will never work. I don't believe this will go at all. I'd better put two together the next time. I didn't want to give up at once. I don't know just exactly what I did, whether I had someone stay with them or what I did. But I know after that, I put them, put two together, and then finally we took a four-bedroom. That seemed to go pretty good. One would help the other. Usually, one or two would be in a few days before they'd be coming out of it pretty well. And so then we took another two-bed across the hall. Well, it was hard to say no when they really wanted to do something about it. And by that time, the men were coming in quite often. So much so that some of the sisters said, who are these fine-looking men that come in so often and seem so interested in the patients. And I didn't say much at first, but later I said, well, that is AA. I said, what is AA? Would you like to know something about it? Well, yes. Well, I'll bring some literature then. I gradually got them. But, of course, before that, a committee from Alcoholics Anonymous talked with Sister Superior. She was one who'd had a lot of experience in the old days of charity and all. And she knew what we were doing. And she said to these men, she said, well, strange, she said, when we had them at charity, they'd be running around the halls and giving a lot of trouble. But since Dr. Bob is treating them, we don't know that they're in the house. So she said, there's no problem, as far as I can see. Just go right along. Well, that was wonderful.